We Talk Podcast presents...
Wow! Oh-ho! The Hall of Famer, Mick Foley! Great choice!
I have to agree with you, one of the craziest...
What it is, what it do, welcome to a Monday Night Raw review, draft... preview of the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
We are one night away, Joel.
It's almost here, and it's real, Josh. And we've got rules now, too.
We got rules. We got everything set up. The draft will happen tomorrow. We have GMs. It's real to me, damn it!
It's quite exciting. Like, I just wanted to say before, because I know you've got your rant and I've got my happy rant. Daniel Bryan, just the product's just better when he's around. I don't know what it is.
SmackDown now has Daniel Bryan and Mauro and Shane on the same brand.
I wonder who's going to do well on ratings, the Smart Show or Monday Night Raw.
Well, we don't know what the rosters are going to be yet either, so let's not get carried away with what we think the rosters are going to be yet, but. So far, SmackDown has a lot of things to be like. Raw does, too. I mean,
the cruiserweight.
I think that was what I was about to say. So Raw gets a cruiserweight. I wasn't as happy with that decision. I thought that the cruiserweights would fit better on SmackDown.
I think it's that 3 hours for...
Yeah, and that's what it is. It just makes more sense with Bryan.
Yeah.
Because he's calling them. And same with Mauro, right? So, why would Bryan watch these guys and let them go?
Yeah, I definitely agree. But you know what? We can't have everything on SmackDown. There has to be a reason. Like,
for sure.
For right now, based on everything we have, Smarks will like SmackDown because of Bryan and Mauro.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane to a degree, and the rumored of some of the names that might be on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you give Smarks Cruiserweight Wrestling on Monday nights for an hour, they're going to tune in and watch that at least. So
that was a nice addition for Raw, because, you know, I had been talking for the longest time about that hour and what to put in there,
yeah.
And maybe to give the women an extra thing. But, hey, if you're going to put Cruiserweights on there, I'm just as in for that as well.
Yeah, it definitely, I think having the cruiserweights there are going to be a nice little addition. I was always very reluctant. I thought the women could carry a nice half hour to maybe 20 minutes, but now having just a cruiserweight division, I feel like it can carry that full hour if they want it to. We still don't fully know if they will, but I think having the cruiserweights there add a certain shine to it that will bring in a lot of fun wrestling. That was always was one of the biggest crowning jewels for WCW, and they didn't cash in. I think now,
they did, but at the end, they never cashed in a way to bring them to the next level. They had them just as the cruiserweights, and I don't know if these guys will go any further, but there's talents there for sure.
Oh, yeah. So does this mean eventually we'll see Kota Ibushi?
Ibushi, yeah, I would think so. So that's my question. So we know that they're looking for younger, older talent, so I have to think that Kendrick and Tajiri, regardless now, are on the main roster.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I would... the one thing I've had from... I would say that tonight, a lot of casual wrestling fans text me.
Yeah.
Because this is the time now, if you're a casual wrestling fan, this is kind of like the season premiere tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just like it's almost just like a series premiere in a weird way. It's... just a complete reboot of everything. Storylines and everything are really just restarting. You can get into the product. Now is the best time, starting tomorrow, to get back into WWE.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you're like, it's a good way to bring casual fans in, because it is really just that it is that restart. It is that chance where a lot of storylines will be closing off. We'll have two titles. And to be honest... like, for you and me, we'll probably watch Raw and SmackDown and the Cruiserweight Classic and NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But for casual fans, this can give them that one show that they want to watch. I like John Cena, so I'll watch SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like Finn Balor, so I'll watch SmackDown. Or I like Seth Rollins, I'll watch Raw. Mm-hmm. I like Roman Reigns, I might pass.
Yeah. It depends where a lot of these guys go, because we kind of have our fixated things, like we think where Seth Rollins is going and where Dean is going, but... it's really hard for me to think that Dean is the champion, so why would he not go first?
Yeah. It's, I have doubts he's going to leave Battleground as champion.
I do, too. I'm just saying, as far as it goes right now, he's the number one guy in the company. He has the belt. I think maybe the finish tonight, which, look, I thought it was a great match. I'm just a little upset that they never told you to go to the network.
Yeah.
That was my only problem. If they said, like, go to the network, they never really went off. Like, even the finishers, like, go check out the WWE Network. Like, people aren't, you know, you and I have always talked about leave them wanting more to go to the network after. I like that idea that you need to go to the network to watch, like, it's a bundled package. Like, you don't get the full thing unless you watch it, but you can't just throw stuff like this randomly out there and have no one understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. You bring up a lot of solid points. And for me, that's someone that, because of the new app that has come out that has swept the globe, I didn't quite catch, so I had to...
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people watch Raw on PVR. So if people are playing Pokemon Go and just watching this on PVR, or they're watching other shows tonight, or they're, you know, out for a Monday, maybe they went to see a movie tonight or something, they get back and they're like, oh, I just got back from the movie, I'm going to watch some PVR. And let's say even if they don't have the network, they're like, oh, well, I think Seth Rollins is the champion. I mean, you go on Twitter or anything and check it, but like that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't leave with the biggest night of your brand in the balance tomorrow on such a weird kind of cliffhanger at the end of Raw.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the entire idea, and I thought it made the finish made both guys look strong. You know, like, I liked everything about it. I just didn't like, I was just like, oh, like, I, for a bit there, thought that Seth was the champion. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess Seth is the champion. And then I went right onto Twitter, because I'm, you know, we're used to doing that, because, you know, we have such a big social impulse to follow these things, and went onto Twitter and figured out right away that Dean's the champion, but I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
If there was no social media there, I would have, if this is the olden days, you know, like, let's say this was 2002 when they had the original draft, I mean, I guess it could have gone to the website, but still, you would have kind of, I guarantee you, there's still some people that are going to go into SmackDown tomorrow and be like, oh, I thought Seth Rollins was the champion.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you have this network, use it. Mm-hmm. Use it.
And that's the thing, like, you and I both talk about how much they don't use the network for things like this.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, that conversation's been very... And it just kind of showed through again that, once again, they just didn't use it the way they should have.
Like, they should have even had, like, there was nothing really to go onto the network after Raw. Like, there hasn't been for a while, right? Like, they've had, like, they had a nice little steady set of shows with... the 24 series and Edge and Christian and Camp WWE. There was stuff that you would want to watch, but right now there's really nothing going on in there because they kind of, I think it's just Swerved pretty much, but they put everything of Swerved up there on demand. So let's say you're someone that just watched all of Swerve. There's no reason for you to go there. There should have been a draft special even tonight. So you would have been like, hey, you need to go to the network to check the draft special. We're going to break down this and this and this, and we're going to have some stuff about the draft and how the picks are going to look on the board and all this kind of stuff and how Roman Reigns and other guys play into this. And you had nothing to pitch even after. They just said, like, we're off. See you tomorrow. And that was really sloppy. It was just a really sloppy way to do it. At least if you had a program on the network to go to after, like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on with Seth Rollins, but I know I want to watch this draft special on the network. So I'm going to go there. You can come back and say, hey, we know we have the draft special, but we're still here on Monday Night Raw trying to figure this out. No one really thought to just go right to the network. And again, even if you were live, that some people may have done that, but for the people that watch it on PVR, they have this weird thing where when that happens on the network, they don't put them back up until like 12 or so hours later. So you and I, who both had this on PVR and had other things to do tonight, didn't end up seeing the Dean Ambrose, what the solution is. We just know off Twitter that happened.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I wish you'd kind of given me a little bit more, but at the same time, you know, it's...
I mean, we're going to forget about this by tomorrow. It's such a minor thing. It's just something to work on as far as the network goes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it is, it'll be interesting to see in a year's time if they figured it out. That's the biggest thing is, because WWE always seems to be kind of moving a little bit slower at times, so it'll be interesting to see if we have this conversation, something similar to this, in the next 6 months, in the next year, or they've kind of figured out how to kind of make the create some synergy between the network and the WWE product.
For sure.
The next thing I wanted to, one of the things that I wanted to bring up was, I love the SmackDown GM. I think it's, I'm over the moon about it. Having Daniel Bryan back in my life week to week has just got my heart aflutter. And
I'm just happy to know that Bryan has made peace with everything. Yeah, I we never really had a podcast about it. We had talked about it a lot off air about, oh man, I think he's going to leave the business. And what if he goes to Japan or Ring of Honor? And what if he plays his contract out and wrestles? I'm glad it seems like he's came to peace with everything now.
Oh yeah, I think that's the best sign that we could see. The one thing that I do want to bring up is Mick Foley.
Yeah.
He's a little bit weird to have been picked by Stephanie. It works because you got a face and a heel dynamic. We know Mick can play the heel, but I don't think he does. I don't think he can get heel heat.
No, especially with Holy Foley coming up too.
Yeah. So I don't quite know how long this lasts, Josh, because it seemed like a very weird dynamic.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think this has got how long this is going to last?
I see at one point, I think it's just inevitable that eventually Hunter's going to replace him.
Yeah. Because I think you already kind of see them planting seeds of doubt in Mick's head.
I did change my mind a little bit when they had the promo with Mick and Bryan, and that was just pure gold Mick Foley there. He was so good in that. Bryan was good in that, but Foley was just like stole the show there. And you remember like, oh yeah, Mick Foley's really good at cutting promos.
Oh yeah. And I think this is going to help. Like, I really think Mick's going to be great for the roster. And Stephanie has this ability to emasculate people.
Mm-hmm.
Mick has the ability to help elevate people. So I think Mick and her may balance each other out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Hunter makes more sense with the cruiserweights too, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's why I think we'll see more of it. But at the same time, I'm glad to see Mick Foley. He looks in great shape. So
DDP
yoga.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I'm actually happy with the results of the GMs. It works out. I mean, you and I were thinking Hunter or Bischoff. We both predicted for the Raw GM. We both got SmackDown right, but that had been leaked, so that was kind of already thought out. But, you know, I didn't see I in my power rankings, I had Foley, I think, fourth. Yeah. I had Hunter and Bischoff ahead of him. And I also had Paul Heyman ahead of him, too.
Yeah.
I just didn't think Foley would want to be on the road. There are some people, surprisingly, Joel, that thought Stone Cold was going to be the GM. And I just... It's funny, just some people's dream imaginations. It's you got to realize like some of these guys just don't want to be on the road all the time. And that's one of the things with Foley. I was surprised. But then you kind of think, well, Dewey's on the writing staff, right? So now I think we know what writing staff Dewey's on.
Yeah.
And you got to think Noel is starting to wrestle. So the whole family is kind of in the company. So in a way, it almost makes sense. So that's in a way now why once I thought of some of those properties, I think he's going to stay around for a while, but I do think you're right. Eventually, I don't think he lasts more than, let's say, 8 months.
Yeah.
Because I think eventually it'll be a Hunter situation that comes into the fold.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree.
We still haven't seen Hunter since WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's been busy being the father of NXT, which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I do agree. I think we do definitely see him. And, yeah, that definitely tells us where the Foley family lies, and I always like seeing Mick. Mick's always great to see, but Josh, just imagine if Bryan was still wrestling.
I know.
Because you can tell that this is a guy that got over on his own. Mm-hmm. Mick got over, and I think it's...
That pop for Bryan even tonight, Joel.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's two things I keep on realizing. I'm like, man, Daniel Bryan's really over, and Seth Rollins really good at wrestling.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more common knowledge. Like Seth is like water in that ring. He can just flow where he needs to go.
Seth is Shawn Michaels for me.
Yeah.
He's this era Shawn Michaels. I always thought it was Dolph, but it's not. Dolph could bump, you know, really well.
Yeah.
But Dolph couldn't do in the ring what Seth can do. Like, Seth, he's so good. So good.
He could be better than Michaels, to be honest.
He could be better than Michaels. And I think Dean Ambrose is great and Roman Reigns is great. And I think he's going to Raw. I think he's going to be the first overall pick tomorrow.
He has to be.
And it just sucks because I'm 99% sure AJ's going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
But I think if you build that up eventually when you get Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, it's a dream match, you know? And that's the kind of thing that's good about this brand split now. Instead of just having AJ and Seth face each other in a random, stupid, like, Raw tag match, they'll never touch each other now until a Royal Rumble or something, and everyone will lose their minds.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like when Michaels and...
Taker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michaels and, Kurt touched in the Royal Rumble.
That too, yeah.
So, it has its benefits for some of these big money matches.
It does. Like, there's a few guys he's just never gone hand to hand with, and it makes it that much more exciting when you think about the possibilities.
Oh yeah. Now, Josh, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a feeling we know that guys like Seth Rollins and AJ. What'd you think of the AJ segment tonight?
Oh, they're so good.
The beat up John Cena. Like, you can just tell that they're having fun, and
I continue to hate Cass and Enzo. I just don't like the gimmick. Do you think Enzo would be a cruiserweight, by the way?
I think he could be. He tried to take on Braun Strowman, and that treated him. So I think he'd probably be considered a cruiserweight.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the gimmick. I understand the New Day.
Yeah.
I think the New Day's funny. I just don't think Cass and Enzo are funny.
Yeah.
Especially Cass. I don't get the Cass character.
Yeah, the more and more, like, I think between the two, I prefer Enzo over Cass.
I do too. I think some of it too is worries me because I worry more about what Vince sees in Cass.
Yeah.
And with Roman, I kind of got it.
Yeah.
And Roman, like, all respect to Roman, he has good matches in the ring. He may not have the best promo stuff, but Roman has it. I can't admit, Roman Reigns has it. Cass does not have it. Cass just looks like a second-rate jobber to me. Just a second-rate test ripoff.
Yeah.
And it's really bad whenever I think that, man, you hear Vince really likes this guy, and I'm just not a fan.
I definitely don't disagree, but, you know, I thought that beat-up John Cena is starting to pick up steam, and the hot Asian wife. So I think you look at some of the things that, like, Enzo and Cass have a few things going for them. Like, you can't deny that they've got a few things.
They're over. They're over. The crowd loves them. I mean, just because I don't love them, I understand that there's a lot of people that love them. And that's fine. Like, if you're over, I'll fully admit it. I'm just not a fan of them from my own personal preference.
And that's fair. It's definitely interesting seeing what's, like, you looked at the four, the three groups plus John Cena. And each of them, most of them had their thing. Cena's got his schnick. Enzo and Cass have their schnick. The Power of Positivity with the New Day have their schnick. I didn't like that they came out and it was all joyful and happy.
Yeah, that was another thing I wasn't a big fan of. These guys just, like, get destroyed. And the last time we saw them, it looked like they were just about to, like, be murdered.
Yeah.
And now they're just, like, Big E's coming out shaking his ass and everything. It's like, oh, well, everything's happy, and I mean, say what you want to say about the final deletion, but, like, I think Jeff's his slave now or something, from what I've heard. I don't know the full details. I don't watch TNA. The first time in the 2 years either one of us had watched it was the final deletion. But I will say, like, at least, like, they kind of had a decent follow-up for that, right? And they had Jeff in misery and Jeff, you know, deleting his Twitter and everything like that. They did a good follow-up to it. It just kind of seems like the segment the other day, last Raw, never happened.
Yeah, and it seems to be a problem that they have for a lot of...
Even Xavier Woods, who was all scared and everything, was fine.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And I think they even pointed it out in the promo. But the one thing that ultimately, like... I definitely think that Cena and Enzo and Cass are going over.
Yes.
What, you have some doubts?
I'm just wondering if they're just going to really push AJ to the moon, because you keep on hearing more and more how much Vince really likes AJ. And I just wonder, I mean, I could see a scenario where AJ goes to SmackDown and the Good Brothers end up on Raw with a certain other guy.
That is a demon?
Yes.
Hmm.
And if that happens, then maybe they get screwed over.
Hmm. Yeah. And then it forces AJ to stand on his own.
Against yeah, I him. Still think AJ's going to stay heel.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that they could be pairing the Good Brothers with Finn. Or they could have them all come on together, and they could have a weird interaction. Maybe Finn tries to come out and he messes things up. And then there's that power feud that builds up between AJ and Finn.
Dream feud, so mm-hmm. I'm happy either or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some decent booking. I can get behind that.
It all depends. I think Finn personally is going to Raw.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be away from AJ, because I think the one thing I'm pretty sure of is that AJ is going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. We'll go back to the draft stuff in a second here. I don't want to keep on going back and forth in order. We'll get to that at the end, and then we'll focus more on that. But I liked everything they did tonight.
Yeah. I think it just the biggest thing that I feel with the club, and I feel even with Enzo and Cass, and I feel with the New Day, is it feels like it's them. It feels like they're not being just fed lines.
For sure. I will agree with that.
It feels like that it's what they want to say out there for the most part. Cena can say whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
And speaking of saying whatever the hell you want, what do you think of Shane's line to Stephanie on Relevance?
The one about dating a superstar to be relevant?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this isn't a Taylor Swift and Kanye situation.
No.
They go over the line, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sure she was fine with it. I'm sure maybe even she pitched it.
Yeah. Are you surprised they still go to that well? Because
it's such an easy one, right? It's such an easy one for them to do.
I kind of look at it and kind of go, that would have been a big mic drop in like 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. 2016, not so big.
I don't really think it works on Steph as much as it does on Hunter.
Yeah, it's more, and that was the one thing, and that's what I thought when I was sitting there listening to it. I was like, okay, yeah, no, okay, but it's bigger because then that applies, the only reason Hunter got where he is because he slept with the boss's daughter.
Yeah, and that's why it worked with Hunter so well, right? Yeah.
And that's why when Punk made little comments like that, they were a little bit more, had a little bit more
jab. Yeah, because it's emasculating him, right?
Yeah.
You can't really emasculate Stephanie because no matter what, Stephanie's a McMahon. So it doesn't matter who she married. She could have married Test. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It could have been, it didn't matter. She's still
too many Test references on this show, by the way.
Huh?
Too many Test references.
It's madness, Josh. Draft preview. We never thought this was going to happen. No. I think at one point we were like, this is never going to happen.
I finally kind of given up on it. I think after WrestleMania, when they didn't do it, because that's what the rumor was, that we kind of dreamed and thought it was going to happen. But after WrestleMania, when it just didn't seem like, after Battleground, no. Whatever one it was when Vince had them come out, you and I thought, oh, this is where they're going to do it, and they didn't do it. That's when I'm like, okay, it's not going to happen. Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they came back and did it. But no, I get why they had to do the line. They like having I'm not going to miss Shane and Stephanie's promos against each other, Joel. Not at all.
No. And you remember what UMO said about that sexual tension?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there.
You're damn right it's there.
It's creepily there, and it makes me uncomfortable, and this is the most...
I don't know if they're even doing it intentionally. I think they're doing it unintentionally.
And this is why we move on to the next topic. We can talk about anything, Josh.
I'm just glad that we don't have to see them even just do promos anymore, because it's so uncomfortable. Just because they're not good. The sexual tension, it's just not good. So tomorrow will be the last time we have to see the two of them in a ring for a long, long time.
I give it 2 weeks.
Oh, God. So what else happened? The Divas, I mean the women, jeez. You know what's funny is Ric Flair did his podcast with Cody.
Yeah.
And he said Divas every time. He's like, man, It's like, I know it's the wrong word. It's just when you have a word fed to you for so long, it's so hard to get out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But so, yeah, the women's segment, what did you think about that?
I thought it was all right.
Did you think that the partner was going to come down, or they're just going to save it for Battleground?
I think they're going to save it for Battleground.
Okay, so if it is Nikki, or there's three people that could be, one of them let's talk about first, and then we'll talk about the more exciting ones. So Nia Jax wasn't on the tapings, Joel.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about
that. I just don't think she's... I think she's talented, and look, I think it brings a different dynamic to that women's roster they don't have that they tried to make with Karma.
Yeah.
But she's not ready. I like Nia Jax. I do. I just don't think she's ready yet.
I definitely don't disagree with you.
It's like Dana Brooke times a million. It's Apollo Crews level. You know, it's like there's a lot of good stuff there. She has a great look. Her promos are okay. And she has a decent in-ring presence. It's just as far as the main roster goes, she's not ready to be at that level yet.
I definitely agree with you. I think that... all in all, I think we know who we kind of want to be. There's two people.
Hey, we want some Bayley!
Oh, if Bayley comes out and that music hits, Josh.
So here's my thing with that. So we have the six NXT superstars starting to get drafted. You kind of want the Bayley. You want whoever that is to be a surprise, right?
Yeah.
So I almost think you can't have them drafted.
Yeah, it would be kind of...
Because if Bayley's drafted, it's like, oh, okay, well, Bayley's... or partner, unless only way you could do it to make it fun is if Sasha gets drafted. Let's say Sasha gets drafted, whatever brand she gets drafted to, and then you have Sasha be like to Shane's like, oh, I know who you should draft next, and that's who I want my partner to be, right?
Yeah.
And then that's Bayley. Then that works out. Then you still get the surprise element. But if they're just like, if Stephanie or Shane are just like, we choose Bayley, then it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because you're going to have to draft all the big guys. You're going to have to draft at least the six NXT guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to cram that into 2 hours.
Yep.
It's going to fly by.
Well, I don't know. Is everybody getting drafted tomorrow? Or like, because there's nothing on the network after, which I found weird. They have the show during, but they don't really have anything after. So I wonder if in between they're going to have draft picks during commercial breaks and be like, during the commercial break, Heath Slater got drafted to SmackDown, but you can only find that on the WWE Network.
I think something like that, where they're going to have small stuff, or they're going to have their main draft and then the supplemental draft afterwards.
We're going to be doing the two screens tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Because we are wrestling nerds.
We are. For you people. That's the only reason.
Eh.
No.
Yeah, I think we'd be doing this on our own regardless.
Probably.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to how they have it all set up. I think that there's only two people for Sasha, and that's Nikki or Bayley.
Yeah. I'm happy with both. As much as I have my Bella love, I would be happier for Bayley.
I think that'd be... You think Bayley gets a decent pop?
Oh, God, yeah.
Where are they for Battleground?
Well, I'm assuming somewhere on the East Coast because they have Pittsburgh that next night for Raw.
I wonder. It's going to be interesting.
You finding out right now?
I'm looking. I think Bayley will get a good... I think Nikki would get a good reaction. We've seen from Snapchat that she's... Mm-hmm. She's getting better, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta think... Both of them could be decent, and I think there's already a built-in feud for Nikki and Charlotte. But we all know where we want things to go, regardless.
Yeah, we want Sasha to get her moment. That's why I don't know if the Nikki makes sense right now.
Yeah. So then, does that mean Bayley feuds with...
I think you slowly... You have Sasha win the title at SummerSlam. And then it slowly builds to Bayley and Sasha at WrestleMania.
Oh, God, Josh. Could you imagine?
I almost wonder, you know, if you put her on the opposite brand even.
Yeah, it's Washington, D.C.
All right, decent crowd.
Yeah.
Nothing like not a crowd that, like, never really stands out. But like I said, they're on the East Coast, so normally those crowds are a little smarter.
Yeah.
It's weird. They showed a banner for Battleground, and it said tickets still available. I was surprised they showed that.
Yeah, they usually like to keep that stuff hidden.
Yeah. They showed the banner, like, Battlegrounds this week, but they never said, like, tickets are still available because that would look bad. But I was surprised they even showed the banner that said tickets still available. You think they would want to have you thinking, oh, no, you can get tickets. Maybe the tickets are limited. You may have to go to only StubHub to get these.
Yeah, it's...
But it'll probably be one of those three women. It'll either be Nia Jax, Nikki, or Bayley. Bayley makes the most sense as far as a Sasha partner. Unless, like, you know, we talk all the time, Joel, about all these guys that may be coming back. Could we have a female veteran? Could it be Lita? Could it be Trish?
It could totally be one of those.
I think Lita is more of a possibility just because she's working with the company.
Yeah.
But I think we can't rule them out. I put them at, like, the bottom of the depth chart. I would put Nikki and Bayley and Nia ahead. The Nia one will just be very anticlimactic. And also, Nia doesn't work as a babyface. I don't, like, if Nia comes up and she's just kind of the muscle for an Eva Marie push, I can kind of get behind that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Eva Marie's not ready either, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, Eva Marie's never going to be ready. She's either going to be where you want her to be or not.
Yeah, it's more or less.
And I kind of like the Eva and Nia act in NXT. I know you didn't hate it.
No, it definitely seemed to be... it worked.
Yeah, it worked. So, I mean, if someone... I think with this split, you're going to have the form teams like that. So, if the idea is just like, okay, well, we're just going to bring Nia up because she's going to be the muscle to help out Eva. And she's still going to learn. I'm cool with that. If that's an idea that you... That they have in mind, then yeah. I'm all game for something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And another guy that wasn't on the tapings, there's three. So one was Finn. We'll talk about him in a second. The other one was Ty Dillinger. I like Ty Dillinger, and I think he's ready for the main roster. He's been in development for a long time. There's no denying that. The question is, why would I want to draft a Ty Dillinger over a Nakamura, an Austin Aries, a Samoa Joe, a Bobby Roode?
Yeah.
A Hideo Itami. Right?
I definitely think that you're going to see a few draft choices. I don't know. I'm not going to be shocked when they make some of these picks and it's like, well, you have other guys that are really good that you should have taken.
Well, yeah, because like in NXT, Joel, it makes no sense for you not to take the Revival, Asuka, or Joe.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Revival's coming up.
No.
I don't think Asuka's coming up.
Nope.
Joe, possibly. But why would you not take... Why would you take American Alpha over the Revival when they're the champions?
Yeah.
It's just the really weird thing with the NXT people. And, like, why would you take Ty Dillinger over Nakamura? Or why would you take Ty Dillinger over Austin Aries? Or Bobby Roode?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you're kind of like... In hindsight for us wrestling fans, we'll be like, you should have taken this pick. But in their land and for what they need, for what they need for certain hands, certain guys are going to kind of get... Certain guys deserve to get rewarded.
Yeah.
But other guys will have to wait. Eventually, certain guys will be up on this main roster. Joe will be one of them for sure.
Yeah, I think... So, we had this discussion yesterday about these NXT guys, because really... That's one of the more interesting things to you and I is these NXT guys.
Oh, yeah. This is huge for us.
So I'm thinking Finn is 100% guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. There's not even a question about this.
So Finn is guaranteed.
They had the NXT curtain call, so.
Yeah, so Finn is guaranteed. I don't think all those people are getting drafted.
No.
I think Finn is a guarantee. And then we're just going to pencil in Nia and Ty in there just because.
Yeah.
Although, like, do you feel comfortable penciling Ty Dillinger?
I feel...
Like, does he get drafted?
I don't think he's getting drafted, Josh. I think about it, the more I kind of go...
Yeah, like, I like Ty. I do, and I think... I hope he gets in the main roster, and I think he's going to be a great character to have. I think you can get over. We both like Ty Dillinger. He's a Canadian kid.
Yeah.
It's just... I don't know if you're showcasing off the talent of NXT, you just wouldn't, it just doesn't make logical sense for you to draft him. He's more of a guy, like, as far as, he's more of a better undrafted free agent kind of guy. Like, in NBA terms, he doesn't make it, but, you know, he goes to the developmental league and he really shines up there.
Yeah.
That's a better use for him, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. So we think Finn is for sure.
Yeah.
How confident are we? What's the next one we're most confident? Is it American Alpha?
Yeah.
Or is it Nia Jax?
I think Alpha.
Yeah, okay. And then do we think it's Bailey?
Yeah, we get some Bailey.
And then it's just hard to not think it's Knock, Joe, or Aries.
Yeah. Knock, I have a really weird feeling that this might be Knock's time. That the amount of money they're paying him, Vince might just want to cash in now.
Yeah.
It's perfectly okay.
For sure. And Aries, you know, he missed a few house shows, and he hasn't really been as big of a presence lately. That's why I almost wonder if they just bring him up and he's just a nice steady hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to have that cruiserweight division. He kind of...
That's a Raw guy. Good call, Joel. Yeah. Really good call.
So, just think, by Wednesday, we might have Prince Devitt, Austin Aries, Shinsuke Nakamura. Hell, we could have Samoa Joe on the main roster. TNA's taking over. It's the TNA invasion, Josh.
Well, it'll be weird because... So, here's the problem with Nakamura and Joe, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is they have a title match at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, you've got to think it's only going to be one of them.
Yeah, one of them has to stay. I think not. Ultimately, I think Nak is staying down to feud with Josh. Just because it popped into my head right now, and I want to hit on this very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just think that maybe by December, maybe, I don't know, there's a possibility, but one of Meltzer's top matches from not last year, but the year before, was at Wrestle Kingdom. And it featured Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kota Ibushi.
That's one of the matches that you and I, one of our first New Japan matches we ever saw.
No? Oh. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Think about that for a second, that there's a possibility for the NXT title. Because there's a rumor that Kota has signed a contract with WWE.
No, it's confirmed.
It's confirmed?
Yeah, him and Grand Malik.
Meltzer confirmed this?
Yes.
This is kind of the conversation we have when things float around. Is Meltzer confirmed it yet?
Yes.
So, that is good. So, we could have Kota Ibushi versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the NXT title.
Yes. And, you know, now that we talk about people, I think I know one person that's almost near a guarantee because he's not on the card. And that's Hideo.
Yeah. That was really weird that he wasn't on the card at all.
Yeah, he's not on the card at all. So, I think maybe it could be Hideo's time to come up.
Yeah, I think they're planning to have him up ahead of Finn. I think the spot Finn was in, Hideo was supposed to be in.
He wasn't really on the tapings really used either.
Yeah.
So I think Hideo is probably going to be one of the guys drafted. And I think he's SmackDown because it's going to be a Bryan pick because of Kenta and him.
Yeah, which would be perfectly fine with me. I think Hideo up there.
Okay, so we think Hideo, Finn, Joe, American Alpha, Bailey. And Austin Aries?
Yeah.
Or Nia Jax?
Let's lean more towards Nia Jax.
Okay. I like your idea of Austin Aries in the cruiserweight division, though, and kind of being the Dean Malenko of that division.
Yeah. Which would be good. You want to have kind of that veteran presence there.
I mean, they could throw us all for a swerve and draft Kota.
Josh, if they do that, I'm losing my mind, and I may jump up and down.
I don't think you're going to – I feel pretty confident saying I don't think Asuka or Revival will be drafted, though.
Yeah, I share your sentiment.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose the titles to Gargano or Ciampa. I think the Revival is ready for the main roster. No,
I don't know.
No, you don't think so?
Because Gargano and Ciampa could fit in that cruiserweight.
That's another thing, too, yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of fresh faces in that cruiserweight, and it's going to be an exciting hour of TV. And if it's booked right and they get, like, 20-minute matches, they could really shine brightly on Raw.
I think the NXT part is one of my favorite parts about it because, you know, it's going to be fun to see where all these other guys go, but it's very exciting to know, like, these guys, Finn and Samoa Joe, that we've been watching on the indies for so long. It's really the last part of this masterpiece of what Hunter has done, of bringing these indie darlings of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and all these guys in the main roster. And it just feels like Joe and Finn are the last, and Hideo are the last three pieces. All respect to Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Oh, yeah.
They come up, that's cool. But these are the last, and Bayley. I guess Bayley's kind of on there too, right? These feel like the last big pieces that we've been waiting to come to the main roster.
Yeah, I definitely, the more pieces that come here, the more the look and the feel of the company changes each and every time. And you start feeling like this is definitely a transitional period. There are some bumps in the road for this transitional period, but anytime you transition to a different set or a different mode or a different anything, there's going to be some rough patches. It's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows, but I feel like they're getting closer and closer to that world where it's like, man, I just really enjoy pro wrestling.
This is where I kind of wish they would have bought TNA, because yeah, I would have liked to have the X division instead of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Just because then a guy like Samoa Joe could be in that division.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate that he doesn't get to be part of that division. So I don't really know where I'm worried about him a little bit on the main roster, how they're going to handle him. It depends where he goes, right?
Yeah. SmackDown, I'm a little less.
Yeah.
It's still the same. The biggest thing is it doesn't matter Raw or SmackDown. The deciding – well, it does kind of matter because whoever you have around you roster-wise matters.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you still have Bucky and Vinny in charge of everything. So
exactly.
You still have to deal with them.
That's
his name on the podcast from now on, Bucky, right?
Of course, yeah. Perfect. Of course. Yeah. I did think today that he did take a little, like, liberties kind of shooting things differently.
Yeah.
There's a few different shots that they used that I was really impressed with today. So they are definitely trying different things out, which is impressive.
You have to. You cannot. The one thing you can never do is stay stagnant, and I think they've stayed stagnant for too long. And I think this draft, like these next two nights, felt very exciting. Like tonight, Monday, felt really exciting, fresh, new, something that I could really kind of grasp a hold of and be like.
Well, tonight definitely felt like a farewell.
Yeah.
But you could just kind of, it just felt different tonight. You know, it was very well paced, Raw, tonight. You know, normally it drags out. I felt for 3 hours it was very well dragged out, very well paced tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of had, like, okay, well, this match is going to happen, and this match is going to happen, and everything, like, the Zack Ryder stuff happened really nicely, the Darren Young stuff happened with The Miz really nicely. I like that they got spots for people that weren't on the show, like Apollo Crews and Titus. They kind of got them all on.
Yeah.
In the back there, Big Show, Kane. They did a good job of, like, building up, like, this and this. I thought it was a little weird when they had, like, who they were rooting for. It's like, well, why would Shane give a fuck who wins this match? Like, he's going to just take whoever he wants. Like, if Seth Rollins is at number two, you can tell me Shane's not going to take him. Like, yeah. That part was a little weird. Like, I get Stephanie doing it because there's the ties to the authority.
Yeah.
I just didn't get them cheering on the baby face, the heel dynamic as much.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah. What else did we miss as far as Raw goes before we get to more draft stuff?
I think Raw, we've more or less hit.
Zack Ryder stuff, nothing really to talk about. Yeah. I don't think he's going to beat Rusev.
You know, the one thing that I did like, they played a video package kind of hyping up Darren Young going for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, well, one second. What did you think about the Seth promo?
It's a Seth Rollins promo.
It was different, though, you know, with the steps and everything.
Yeah.
That was different. I really liked it. It's like, I think some people aren't going to like it. It kind of felt like a one-man show a little bit.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, you know, it was something different. It was something cool. Something that you could kind of sink your teeth into a little bit.
You definitely need to freshen things up.
I like that Dean brought the camera up, the freshen that up. You know, you forget that Roman Reigns isn't even in this, but I thought without Roman in this, they've done a good job of carrying this program in, and Roman's just kind of there.
Yeah.
I
think the intended feeling right now.
Yeah. Also, Brock Lesnar, highly promoted SummerSlam match tonight. So I guess we know our answer on that.
Yeah. Vince, well, I mean, if the boss can stick needles up his butt, they're not going to be too sore over one of their big draws sticking needles. And everything with Brock, I still feel like I need that B sample before it definitively, like, no, this guy did this.
Exactly. And I also think they may feel like this didn't happen on our watch.
Yeah.
So it's not our problem.
It's a crappy excuse, but it's still...
Yeah.
It's still there. And it's not necessarily wrong, because I don't think Brock had anything to do with the company after WrestleMania.
No, it's just so weird, because Brock, unlike John Jones, who's been saying, like, I'm innocent, I feel a little bit more for Brock, just because, you know, he's wanted this fight for so bad, and he's just been so calculated, he cares about his money so much.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see him doing something stupid like that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've noticed is he's been very quiet on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think he feels like he's going to win.
Yeah, and I think that... See, you look at a guy like John Jones, who's been like, no. Mm-hmm. You look at Brock's very quiet, very subdued. Like, usually liars will be a little bit more like, look at me, no, I'm telling the truth, and go on and tell everything and everyone that this is how it really is. And then, in fact, it's the opposite. Brock's very quiet. He's not digging himself any holes. So we'll wait and see how this all plays out. That B sample is going to be a big factor.
Yeah, that's the big one, right? We have to hope and pray that works. I had told you something with the Vegas commission and how if he got suspended there with the New York commission, that's not exactly true.
Okay.
Meltzer and others are still trying to figure it out because pro wrestling has a weird kind of loophole as far as suspensions and other sports go for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure that out. What it sounds like is, so if he gets the violation, it's a 2-year suspension from fighting and possibly Nevada, period. Which I don't know if pro wrestling has that in Nevada at all. So I'm not sure about that, but they can find the WWE wherever he goes. So Florida is one of the states. New York is one of the states in Nevada that I know of. So that means anytime Brock performs in Florida, hey Joel, anything big happening in Florida next year?
No, nothing at all, Josh. Nothing at all.
So when he does WrestleMania in Orlando, he could be, they can fine him for being there. If the suspension happens. They can even try to uphold him from performing.
Oh, God. Could you imagine Vince getting that letter? Like, two weeks before WrestleMania?
Again, I don't know the full details, and I don't know how much leverage they have to stop him from performing. I know they can heavily fine the WWE, though, for a performer that's failed the USADA test.
Yeah. Vince will pay it, but I can see Vince fighting this as well.
I don't think it's affecting his draft order. Because if they're still promoting him, they'll still put him high. I think they may even cross promote it and have Randy in one show and Brock in one show. To be completely honest,
it'd be smart.
Yeah, I think so.
Because then you kind of that'll be the first one of the new era of the draft of that cross promotion. Kind of show that it can be exciting and fun, and we can't wait to see it.
By the way, Randy Orton, Booker T's first overall pick. So, I like Randy.
Quack quack.
I like Randy. I just don't think he's the first pick.
No.
I am a little surprised though that they did market it as big as they did. So it just kind of seems like full steam ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just business as usual.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I think unless there's a massive crap storm with it, and I think they've almost passed the massive crap storm already.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be much more from this. So.
I agree. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see where he goes in the draft. Do you think he's still a top 5 pick?
Yeah, I think he still has to be. I mean, you can't devalue him.
So we did our draft picks. We're going to put that up tomorrow. So now what we're going to do is we're going to come together and we're going to agree on the top 5 picks.
Yay!
And we're going to agree... Top 6, sure.
Yeah.
We're going to agree on our top 6 picks, and then we're going to together agree on the 6 overall NXT. We kind of brainstormed those NXT picks before, Joel.
Yeah.
We're going to agree on the NXT picks overall. So what do you want to do first, the NXT agreement or the overall draft picks?
Overall draft picks.
Okay, so number 1 is going to Raw.
Yep.
Seth Rollins. Now with the 2 and the 3, I don't really know how this is going to work. I'm just assuming right now it goes 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, and at the end they're getting extra picks, or is it going to go Raw, SmackDown, Raw, Raw? Or is it going to go Raw, Raw, SmackDown?
I think for our sake right now, I think I think it'll.
We're just going to go by that because that makes it seems smarter for us. I don't know.
Yeah.
So for the first pick to Raw, it makes sense for Stephanie not to take Dean though because she doesn't like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for Stephanie to take Seth. The next pick is the interesting pick because I don't see Dean Ambrose going to SmackDown, and we keep on hearing there's going to be a tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship. So why does Shane not take the World Heavyweight Championship and instead takes AJ or John Cena?
Be something a little different.
I you and I had AJ pegged here for the longest time.
I think it's Cena.
I think it's Cena.
Yeah. You can't deny. And I think AJ gets in someone's face, and that's what causes him to be picked onto SmackDown.
So the next pick, I think both of us are in agreement that the number 2 pick for Raw will go to Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be easier. They're going to go to the 2 and the 1 and the 2 and the 1, because then maybe it goes Steph just takes Seth and that there. Okay, so then the number 2 pick to SmackDown we think will be AJ?
Yeah.
And this is where things get interesting. Number 3, I think, is when you get a surprise, and I think that is Finn.
Yeah.
Or do they go for a woman early on?
I think they want to go for a woman, and Stephanie will be a big thing for Stephanie, so.
And so she takes Charlotte there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have Charlotte 3, and then I would think Sasha goes 3 as well. So, yeah. Okay, and then 4th, I think this is where you have the 2 suspended guys just go back-to-back. Or do you want to not put them together?
Yeah.
So maybe Smacked Raw takes Brock?
Yeah.
Because where do you think Brock fits better?
Raw.
And then SmackDown takes Randy? Or do you want to keep Cena and Randy Orton away from each other?
No, you know what? I think at this point in time, it's okay if they are still in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I mean, they had wrestling matches in 2001, so...
Yeah. Okay, so then we're down to the 5 pick. That's where I think Finn goes.
Yeah.
To Raw. And then Shane takes Joe or Nakamura there.
Yeah.
And then the 6th pick, I think you'll go for the champions there. And I think Steph will take The Miz, and I think Shane will take Rusev.
Yeah. Yeah, because you definitely want to have them get picked, not higher, so that their value is obviously shown, but not obviously top overall picks.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Woo!
Tag teams, who gets separated? I know it's different because it's
Enzo and Cass.
Remember the tag teams are that the commissioner has to pick that they would want them separated. So you think Shane will just Steph will just be like, I want to take Big Cass or something?
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, like we said, Enzo makes more sense in the cruiserweight division. So maybe Shane just takes Big Cass.
Yeah.
And then Steph would take Enzo.
Yeah, I think that's probably how it'll play.
I think the Dudleys are going to get split as well.
Yeah, but I also think that, what's his name? The New Day stay together.
Yeah, I don't think the New Day is going to break up. I think it's kind of, it's silly to break them up.
Yeah, no, I would leave it be and let them still do their thing. It's worked. Keep exactly. Cashing in cashing on that booty.
I agree. All right, there you have it.
Woo!
Tomorrow is the draft. So we have a few big announcements here. I'll start and then I'm going to let Jill go. So as far as One Fall is concerned, so tomorrow, One Fall, we will have you covered for the draft. Follow us on all 3 Instagrams because things will be up on there. So follow us mainly, number 1, at the One Fall Podcast Instagram. Follow us at the One Fall Podcast Facebook page. Make sure you follow those. Make sure you follow Stick Boy on all his publications, on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Do you guys have an Instagram?
No.
Okay, well, make sure you follow them on the Twitter and on, I don't know if you're doing anything on Facebook, but definitely on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Maybe have something on there. At what do you want to pimp the other Twitter or no?
Nah.
Okay, so make sure you follow on the Stick Boy. We also will be live tweeting on Stick Boy and Fresh Take, so make sure you follow us on Fresh Take 42 on Twitter. We will be live tweeting from that and have a little bit of Instagram stuff on the Fresh Take page, but mainly will be on the One Fall Instagram. Also, we will be having live Snapchat updates of our thoughts, live reactions. We'll be doing a podcast afterwards, but we're going to give you our live thoughts. You can follow that at my own personal Instagram, Jawa31 on Snapchat. I'll have the snap code tomorrow on one of the, on probably the One Fall to follow there, so you can follow us. And yeah, so make sure you follow us on all the platforms. And then afterwards, we'll be back for another podcast running down our thoughts on the draft, where we think things are going. And we'll have a Battleground preview in there as well. And we may do another podcast this week talking about the Cruiserweight Challenge. We'll see where things go. But all that great stuff coming for you tomorrow. Full coverage here at One Fall, Stick Boy, Fresh Take, all those good things. Joel.
And tomorrow, well, you, for some of you non-wrestling fans out there, or casual fans, there will be a special 50th episode for Stick Boy. It's a little bit of a surprise episode, so keep your ears out for that. That will be out tomorrow, and yeah, it's, I'm very proud of how it came together, and I think it's a good little project. And coming up to 50, and I mean, we have listeners in Russia, U.S., Korea. We're doing something right.
And let me just say, man, you started with us a Fresh Take.
Pep Talk.
And Blas, well, yeah, Pep Talk even. Yeah, we don't say that name. It's like Voldemort. You started us with when we were Pep Talk. We just actually had our 2-year anniversary, which is so crazy. It kind of started with the breakup of the Shield. And one of the first things we talked about was this draft. And it's just kind of been a constant thing. It's one of the first subjects we really bonded about that we both really were like so into together that we both agreed with very hard. And that when we did that first show, we're like, even said after, it's like, oh, you want the brand split too? I'm like, yeah. And we, one of the things we both really bonded over.
Yeah. Is grown men in tights pretending to beat each other up.
Yeah. And so it's been 2 years plus now, and we're going to get to talk about one of the things tomorrow that we've been talking about the most. And now maybe CM Punk comes back. That's the other thing. Probably not. But
we might check Bucket List podcast off. When I swear, if Punk ever returns, Josh will be like for 20 minutes. It'll just be Josh talking. I'll just be sitting there.
Same with the Kurt Angle return.
Oh, yeah. Either one of those. It'll just be like I'll be on my phone. I'll be swiping through, I'll be catching Pokemon, and Josh will be like, fantasy booking, like, 3 years down the road for Punk, and it'll be great.
That's the other thing I was going to ask you really quick. Do you think we see any old faces tomorrow?
I think so. I think we may get a few surprises.
Is one of those a former Olympic champion?
No.
Is one of those a former WCW champion?
Maybe.
Yeah.
David Arquette could just show up.
Shut up. Smartass.
I think it's possible. I think there's a lot of possibility with a lot of these. I think we might get a former Team Angle member coming back.
Maybe. But going back to the 2-year anniversary, Joel, it's been a blast doing these with you. I think this year, 2016, has been busier than any other time that we've done this show.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had the disappearance of Punk and the build-up of the Colt Cabana podcast that year and kind of the infancy of the network. And last year, there really wasn't anything super crazy that happened. And this year has just been, ever since we've launched One Fall over to the Stick Boy side for Fresh Take, it just seems that Stick Boy has been burdened with news upon news, letting Fresh Take just handle the basketball and the pop culture side and letting Stick Boy have all the wrestling news all the time.
It just decides that this is the year that AJ Styles comes to WWE. Brock Lesnar tests positive. Shinsuke Nakamura, Kota Ibushi.
The UFC sells for $4 billion.
Just all the things, but it's been a blast.
Conor McGregor retiring, not retiring.
Ronda losing.
That was last year, but yeah. Always kind of
last year.
The kind of debate that we've had about Ronda coming back or not coming back or being at WrestleMania and all of that kind of good stuff.
It's been wacky and wild, but it's been a blast. Like, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we're gonna get to 100 Stick Boy podcasts.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt it. So we're gonna have, this is gonna be number 49 you're listening to, that awesome number 50. I hope everyone checks out. And then 51 is really the dawn of a new era of One Fall, where we have a segment for Raw, we have a segment for SmackDown, then we have that Wednesday slot. Sorry, we're not going to review TNA. However, we may talk a little G1.
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, it's a lot to watch, but, you know, there'll be some stuff here and there that we'll watch.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so, again, make sure you follow us on all of those social media outlets tomorrow for One Fall. Make sure you check out that 50th episode for Steak Boy. Very special episode. I'm very excited to hear it from what Joel's talked to me about it. And can't wait for tomorrow. Until next time, cheers.
Yes, yes, yes.
Enjoy the night, people.
More popular and better than Mick Foley. Ladies and gentlemen.
More popular.
The SmackDown Live General Manager. That is huge. Huge. You've got to be kidding me.
The Yes Movement is back. Daniel Bryan. I can't believe it.
One of the most popular superstars of all time. Had an incredible career. Cut short. Well, that career is just getting started again as a new general manager of SmackDown.
What a move by Shane McMahon.
Wow.
And remember the battles Daniel's had with Stephanie over the years, guys. He's going to want to bring Raw down. Put SmackDown at the top of the chart.